everybody. Welcome to Kame House Party. I am Aaron, and this is the universe's only improv comedy Dragon Ball Watch Along podcast. You are in for another great episode. I guarantee this. I will give you a refund if it's not, not of time, of money. But we have another special guest host joining us. They are a friend of the pod. They are a friend of myself and Vince. They're a wonderful improviser and comedian based out of New York City. You might have heard him on the Sigmund Freud podcast. You might know him from the improv team Woodstock. I, of course, am talking about Ian Heron. Ian, welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me, Aaron. What a bold to guarantee such a wonderful show with me on it. That's just not something that most people do.
I don't believe that at all. You don't have the Ian Heron guarantee?
I do have the Ian Heron guarantee, but it's more like guaranteed you'll need to see a doctor after.
From laughing too hard.
From laughing too hard, yes. You'll rupture an appendix from how funny I am. That's the guarantee.
Get Houdini'd from Ian.
That's right. If you don't tense up your stomach around me, I can't guarantee what will happen.
Ian, thank you so much for coming on to the podcast.
No problem. It was great to be here. Bye, everybody.
Now, it's been a while since you've been on the show.
Yes. Probably the live show, I think, was maybe my last appearance. I did do the show before that, but I think the live show was the last Kame House Party proper.
That's true. That is several years ago.
Oh, yes.
And for the audience and for myself as a refresher, what is your current Dragon Ball knowledge? Did you have issues watching the episode and keeping up?
I'm a very casual Dragon Ball fan. I certainly didn't know all the pieces of the lore, but like Vegeta, Piccolo, Goku, are names that stood out to me. And then Krillin was very familiar. And then when I heard Krillin, I was like, oh yeah, that's Krillin. but there was definitely a lot of like details that were fuzzier, on the outside edges. I was also not sure where I was being placed in the story of, I know a lot of characters go on arcs of being heroes to villains and villains to heroes and backwards. And so I was a little like, okay, I think Vegeta's good at the start of this. And I was like, no, he's not so good.
He's still kind of a bad boy,
but his son seems cool. I'm very much on the casual fan side. Remember some key characters. My history of Dragon Ball Z growing up is like, I never watched it all the way through, but I would catch the random episodes and I would enjoy the fighting. And I don't think I've ever told this on the pod. There was me and my friend growing up, Andy Morrison, who just got married in Philadelphia. Happy marriage, Andy. He and I would run around and make short little videos together to make each other laugh. And there was one time where we went out into my backyard in bathrobes and stood with our hands kind of making what do you call this?
Is the there a Kamehameha.
Is that the name for the hand gesture as
You know what? This is a good reminder. We don't do research on this podcast. So I don't know if there's an actual name for the hand gesture outside of coming
home. Hands, they call it
beam hands.
Beam hands. Yeah. So we would make the beam hands and we would scream at each other, Kamehameha, from a great distance and scare the neighbors. And that's one of our few videos that never got released. It's one we decided to shelve.
Well, Ian, I got a surprise. We're going to play this video right now.
Oh, no. It's borderline child pornography, I think, with bathrobes
open
and
robes.
How young we were. But yeah, it was a lot of fun to fantasize about, but certainly the details are not specific with me all the time. That's my background.
Wonderful. What a wonderful story to bring to the pod. I appreciate that. And we can now get into the podcast. And the first part of that is doing a little Kame housekeeping. We're getting the listener, I'm talking to you now, ready for the podcast ahead. And the first part of Kame housekeeping is the world famous, UN sanctioned, 1 minute roundup, a pen scribbling sound.
Oh, storms are coming.
I see it on the horizon.
Like black riders in the sky, but all made out of foggy clouds.
Just 4 riders with lightning bolts for hands.
Little Zeus-like, which doesn't really add up to this timeline that we're currently in. Mm-hmm. We are not in Greece or Rome, and yet Zeus is being evoked to me out on this plain.
Mm-hmm. Look, as 2 cowboys out here on the range, you gotta know your Greek history.
Gotta know your Greek history. Oh my God. I think about Oedipus 3 times a day.
Morning, noon, and night.
Morning, noon, and night.
Just like
it's
your
honestly,
prayers.
It's close to mealtime, but not exactly mealtime.
Well, I don't think Oedipus is a good mealtime subject to think upon, but pre-meal.
Right, when you're getting hungry, you want to think about, man, that guy had to gouge his own eyes out and kill his father.
He sure, and there's another part of it that I kind of forget, but I don't think that's the important part.
Oh, yeah, let's not talk about that part, even though that does make me so hungry.
And see. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the beginning of the 1 minute roundup where Ian and I will do a, or who, whatever guest I have on.
No, it's always me.
Yeah.
No, if you hear somebody else on this show, it's me jumping in and playing an excellent impression of a character.
And then running back out.
And then running back out, yeah.
But we do that to loosen or tighten our improv muscles, whatever the situation
calls. Now, those are opposite directions. When you say, Aaron, loosening and tightening, you'd think you can't do both at the same time, wouldn't you say?
Did I say and or?
I thought you said and at first, but you can amend if you need to. We're loosening some things and tightening other things.
I like that you're coming in and questioning these things that I've said for like 8 years. I appreciate. I don't always get this kind of feedback.
Well, I'm here to attack and tear down, like any good co-host should. Is fundamentally shake the foundation of the show until it cannot stand.
Whatever we need for that day, whether our muscles need to be tight or loose, that is what happens. If there is some sort of combination, then that also exists. But it does, Ian, it does prepare us for the 1 minute roundup proper.
Yes.
Where one of us, this time me.
Good call.
Has to summarize everything that has happened in Dragon Ball thus far.
And when you say that, you're including the original Dragon Ball series, or this is just Z? So you're
doing the original.
The whole thing.
Mm-hmm. 150 something episodes of Dragon Ball. At this point, 158 episodes of Dragon Ball Z in under a minute. And we do this for you, the listener, so you don't have to go back and watch all of Dragon Ball to be caught up. You don't have to listen to all of our episodes, but there are folks that do, and we salute them for it.
We salute them. Thank you so much, listeners. Get ready to tighten your stomachs and loosen your buttholes. Here it comes.
Please, audience, whatever your muscles need for this. But Ian, I can't start until you ask me if I'm ready to round up. So I will wait for you to do that.
All right. I just need a moment to get ready to ask you.
Okay.
To be ready. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And Aaron, are you ready to round up?
Yes, I am.
Start the clock.
Dragon Ball is about 7 magic Dragon Ball. It's about crystal balls. You collect them all, you make any wish you want. It stars Goku. He was a little kid. He had a tail. He beat up so many people, but he made friends along the way. Then he got married and had a kid. And then his brother came from space and like, you're a space guy. And I'm like, oh shit. So we killed his brother. And then he went to the afterlife to train more at karate because there are other people from his home planet that were trying to take over Earth. He came back to life, beat their asses, but a bunch of his friends died. So they traveled to Namek, which is where the Dragon Balls are originally from. And there he like beat the baddest dudes in the universe and became the legendary Super Saiyan. Then when he came back to Earth, it turns out the future's fucked. Some guy from the future came and said, androids are going to come and just wreck shit. And Goku also going to have a heart attack. So Goku had a heart attack, but he got better. And then he stopped the androids. But there's a bigger android named Cell who's sucking up androids to become perfect. And Goku's training and everyone's trying to stop Cell from sucking up 18.
Wow. Ooh. Wow. I mean, easy to say now, but that's exactly what I would have said.
I just read your notes.
Okay, good. impressive. That's truly the most impressive part of the show. If you're only guesting, you have to comment. Aaron is a goddamn Super Saiyan just for saying all those words in that short amount of time.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And that leads us into the next part of Kame Housekeeping, where I let you, the audience, again, I'm addressing you again, that we watched two different versions of the episode. I watched the original Japanese language with the English subtitles, and this time Ian has watched the English dub. Mm-hmm. And we do this because it is fun to compare and contrast the differences. Sometimes they're very big, sometimes they're very little. But the usual first thing is the title, as far as differences go. Said that real weird, but we're going to keep going. Ian, will you please... Mm-hmm. Please give me the title for your episode.
I would love to. This is a title that I remembered super well on my own. This title was, of course, The Last Defense. Will be no more defenses after this episode. This was The Last Defense.
It's the turnover. We're going on offense after this.
Correct. The defense is going into the locker room. They will not be needed anymore.
They're getting back on the bus.
They're getting on the bus. They're sad. Their job is over. They can't play football anymore.
When it's not their turn to be on the field, do you think the players are sad?
I think they're sad. Yeah, because they want to participate. Wouldn't you rather be a part of something than not a part of something? Mm-hmm. That's how I feel about every episode I don't co-host of this show. I'm sad.
All right. Well, glad to have you off the bench. so I can tell you my title for episode 159 of Dragon Ball Z is, okay, I have to look at it. Okay. A shock to the entire universe.
Oh my God.
Cell's spectacular evolution toward his perfect form.
Oh my, is it always that much longer?
Yes.
Okay.
This one was super extra. The entire universe.
That's fun though. I like that. I mean, they do make the stakes that high in the show, so they might as well put it right there in the title.
We do planet hop in this episode a bit. We get to see different folks. So let's get into it. Let's get into the episode.
Let's do it.
As a baseline, we have Cell. If I'm not mistaken, he has seen Android 18. And the whole goal for him at this point is to try and absorb her so he can become perfect. In my episode, he's just like listing off his RPG stats that are going to go up.
Oh, interesting.
So he just says like, all right, let me see if I remember the voice. Power, speed, technique, brains, mental strength. He's jazzed that he's going to get all these things boosted.
Yeah, that was pretty much the same in mind. I think it was maybe not as technically sound, but it was just like, I'm going to get strong. I'm dumbing it down significantly. But yeah, it was basically the same.
I would believe that. He's been a bit of a dummy, a bit of a himbo these past couple episodes. Yes.
Am I wrong to think that the names are getting a little bit lazier? Maybe I'm just thinking that because Android 16 and 18, that feels like... You know, it's that whole thing. If you're cast on a TV show, you got to push for your character to have a name.
Mm-hmm.
If I was Android 16 or 18, I was like, can't I just be Jennifer and Craig or something? And Cell similarly feels a little simple. I'm just comparing it to Vegeta and Piccolo. You had such like artful names early on with these bigger characters. And now we're like Cell 16, 18. I'm just like, I don't know. I feel like we could try a little harder on some of these new characters. I liked them. They were still dynamic. Cell seems bad enough, you know, big lizard muscular guy. You know, he's intimidating. It works. But the name is lacking for me.
Is there a name that you would that you might give so if we could rename him? So the if it helps, the origin is essentially he grew from a cell.
I figured that. I figured that was probably yeah.
Go ahead. You know that thing that no other organism does?
Yeah. Oh, we should definitely call him Jism.
perfect Jism. I can't wait for that arc.
No, I don't know what I would want to call. Honestly, my dog's name is a great name for Cell. If you rename Cell Boom Shakalaka, mm-hmm. I'm pretty invested.
That's intimidating.
Boom Shakalaka.
I want to see Boom Shakalaka become his perfect form.
Yeah. Yeah, and I guess I would furthermore say, like, I feel like the android names should feed into Cell more directly than being numbers, because if the whole idea is he's going to eat the androids, mm-hmm. which we'll get to later, I don't want to spoil how that happens, but that's crazy. but yeah, I feel like it should be like, I don't know, prisoners and Cell, or something that they should, like, go together.
Mitochondria and... other parts of the cell.
I thought about bringing that word up, but I'm always nervous that I don't completely know what that word means. So I just don't say it to avoid talking.
I believe.
Yes, I know that's the catchphrase. It's got really good branding, but I don't know what does powerhouse of the cell even mean. It's like the electrical company of the. It's the Con Ed of the cell. That's a New York reference. I hope it translates.
It's you mean the West Penn Power?
Yes, that's yeah. Okay. Yeah, that'll translate more to a broader audience.
Now I understand.
The Memphis Gas, Light, and Water of the cell.
Look, Georgia Power of the cell. We all get it. Georgia Power,
also a good rename for cell. If his name was Georgia Power.
Georgia Power.
Oh, that'd be ooh, fucking on. And then he eats like Raphael Warnock and like Joel Ossoff as the androids become strong.
Who are they?
The Democratic senators from the state of Georgia.
Look, maybe I just revealed who my family back home voted for by not knowing them.
Oh, yes, I should have said Herschel Walker. And
there we go.
Oh, the fucking WNBA monster Lawford or something. I know too much about politics.
we'll move away from that.
Oh, no, I have 10 more minutes I want to know. Okay, sorry. Cell could be better named, but he's a cool villain for sure.
I agree with you on that. Especially the android names, we've mixed them up constantly. Kind of glad there's going to be less of them for a hot second.
Well, I was going to, this is maybe jumping ahead a little bit. When the android's eaten, are they dead or is there any sort of like a split that can happen? Maybe that's spoilers for future episodes you don't even want to say.
It is a spoiler for future episodes.
Yeah, yeah,
but there's,
yeah.
At this point, we don't know. We are constantly referencing how Krillin will eventually marry 18. She's gone, but not forgotten.
Oh yeah, I wrote down about Krillin. He's thinking with his dick and not his brain in this episode.
You missed where he destroyed a controller that could destroy her.
It was in the what's the word? The catch up.
Yeah,
yeah.
And he's still very nervous, not sure what to do.
Mm-hmm. Do you call Krillin a short king on this show?
We have called Krillin a short king.
Because I think he's very much a short king. And I thought I got that from you, too. But I wanted to cite it. Yeah, short king.
Yeah.
I have nothing to add to
that. He is. He's short. He's a king.
He's a short king. He's showing off the kingly side in this episode. I think he's being a real gentleman, trying his best to help despite his stature.
Yeah, he does do his best, as we'll see in the episode. We have Trunks in the air warning everyone about Cell. They have a very cool fight. Cool. We don't see a lot of Trunks fighting over these episodes, so any kind of scrap I was happy to get.
Yeah, I took me a long. I find Trunks very hard to tell apart from Vegeta. I guess that's kind of the point to some degree because they're related, mm-hmm. but they're just a hair. I would just give like Trunks more of a streak in his hair or something, or maybe there was an identifier I missed.
They are dressed the same right now.
Yeah,
Yeah. I don't think this is something we pointed out before. They are having their little like father son outfit yeah. on today.
It's school picture day.
they have to have a picture of Vegeta behind Trunks with his hand on his shoulder.
Yeah.
But Trunks, he does knock Cell down. And we learn that Cell is actually underground moving.
Which I thought played very nice. Like I thought that was very creepy of like, we're safe, but for how long? It can't be that long. I liked that bit of tension building. Honestly, I think they could have milked it harder if they wanted to. Of just like worrying where he was going to pop up from.
His weird head fin could have stuck out a little bit as like you can do a little dun, 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 dun in there.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. But yeah, I thought that worked for me. He's gone, but he's not gone. He's anywhere. Mm-hmm. That was creepy.
I think, and speaking of creepy, I got like horror movie vibes from it because the characters did the dumb thing when they, I think 18 is finally convinced to run away. Krillin chases after her in pursuit, but they don't fly away. Everyone can fly.
Interesting.
And they have an enemy who is underground. They run.
Interesting. I did not think about Krillin and 18's ability to fly. Yeah. Are they, and they know that, I'm going to be bad with names here. They know that Son of Vegeta, is, Trunks. They know that yes. Trunks is on their side, so they wouldn't be scared yes. of him up in the air, would they?
No.
And has Vegeta already been blasted away by this point? I'm just trying to get the timeline.
He has not been blasted away.
Maybe they're afraid of Vegeta.
Sure. Maybe they do. I think they do. When everyone's so distant and people are just yelling, it's hard to know who knows what the other person is thinking. I feel like you're right that they do know that Vegeta wants Cell to advance and become perfect.
Right. Well, at the very least, Vegeta wouldn't be somebody that they would want to run towards no matter what, I would imagine.
No, not really.
Yeah. So I'm just trying to help this plot hole that you've identified, because otherwise I agree with you. They would just fly away, but maybe Vegeta's scary.
He's just got his arms crossed. He's looking yeah. mad.
Yeah.
That's scary. That's frightening.
Yeah, he's a short anti-king. I don't know how.
The anti-king.
He's a short president. I don't really know what an anti-king would be. The pop-up is a very nice, like, oh shit, now they're really fucked. That worked well. I like mm-hmm. that moment.
And then I think we do get Trunks trying to go in, stop Cell, and then Vegeta finally takes off and they have a fight. Vegeta just drop kicks his son.
Yeah, yeah. Of the Vegeta I remember on character, mm-hmm. that seems like something he would do. Now, what I think, I don't know if I'm allowed to make predictions about episodes that I'm not going to be on.
Please
and
do.
Obviously, I'm not looking for you to confirm or deny.
Okay.
But just my theory watching this episode, this was father-son fighting. I think next episode with Cell all big and bad, that's going to have to be father and son working together to defeat the big, powerful monster. That's where I see this going, which is a nice full circle moment. If you think about the physical fights you've had with your father and then how you have to turn around and then fight, I don't know, The Rock or whoever.
Yeah, I was trying to stop The Rock from becoming perfect. He was about to shave
failed.
He was about to shave his head, completing
sure,
the look.
Sure.
I'm like, Rock, no. And my dad just, you know, he drops, kicks me. He's like, let him do it. That's not how my dad sounds.
Oh, yeah. How does your dad sound? Have you ever done an impression of your dad on the show? That would be a nice peek behind the curtain for fans.
I don't have an impression of my dad.
All right, I'll try one.
All right, go for it. Yeah, what you know about me.
Aaron, come downstairs for dinner. I've made you macaroni and cheese.
Dad, that's okay. You know, I don't like mac and cheese.
I'm making you stronger. It's a vegan mac and cheese made from artificial
nutritional yeast.
It's dog shit nutritional yeast all swirled into one.
So yeah, so now fans mm-hmm. have had a peek behind the curtain.
That was, I mean, clearly it was accurate because of how much I froze up and barely responded.
It's always the sign of good improv is if you make your scene partner freeze up and not able to speak, and you just roll over them and say mm-hmm. whatever dumb shit you want to say. That's the best improv.
That's how we've lived our lives on this podcast. But yeah, there is child abuse going on in this. I think this is where we're seeing Krillin trying to fight Cell, not working, just kind of getting slapped to the side. 16's trying to protect 18.
And he's pretty gravely injured.
He's missing half a head.
Yeah. Which, by the way, would absorbing him be any good to Cell at this point, or is he like too far gone to be of use to absorb? What's your opinion of the logic of that?
I think he has explained it before, where it's just like, no, I needed 17 and now I need 18 and that'll complete the set, which is rude on Cell's part.
Yeah. Okay, so 16 is just kind of dead weight, literally.
Yeah. A little.
All right. Poor guy.
No, all he wanted to do was fight Goku. He's like, that's what I was programmed to do. That's it. I don't care.
He was
about
a little bit
else.
Arnold-esque
mm-hmm.
in his singular focus. Okay, got it. But he does seem to have a genuine love of 18.
Oh yeah, he's the past few episodes have been him just saying, can you just leave? Like, why do you keep staying around? Go hide.
And is it like a sibling love between them, or is it like a romantic love between them? I got sibling vibes, but you have more context than I do.
It is a sibling thing. I'm sure there are fictions written where it's not a sibling thing.
Great. And when do we do the episode entirely on the slash of this episode?
that's next time. Unfortunately.
Oh, damn it. That's the one I wanted to show up for. Mm-hmm. Oh, well. Okay. Yeah, no, I mean, I appreciated their bond, but yeah, I couldn't figure out. I almost wondered if 16 could have been used as bait, but it sounds like Cell would have no interest in 16 at all.
No, not really.
Damn.
Cell at this point, there's a line I wrote down. He's menacingly approaching 18, and he says, now then, shall I have her? My most first-class cuisine?
Oh, boy.
Cell, no.
That was not my translation. I didn't write down exactly what he said, but it was more just about absorbing power and less sexual. That sounded very sexual, what you just said.
I don't know how that would fly, saying to a romantic prospect, to be my most first-class cuisine.
Yeah, I'm guessing not well would be my guess. I think I just wouldn't say it. I think I would say other words.
I shouldn't put that in my profile.
I don't think so. No. Okay. But I mean, hey, I mean, who knows? You might be. Maybe that's why I'm single. Is because I don't say that.
You don't compare people.
I don't.
The way he says it in this, and the way it's translated, it's like airplane food. You're my reheated chicken cacciatore.
Oh, I need to hit a little button to have you serve to me. That one didn't work as well.
You're the alcohol that I pay extra for.
Oh, when the person wakes up next to me, they're going to see a little gremlin on the wing.
Please be my gremlin.
Please be my gremlin on the wing. Yeah, no, well, put it like this. The way he does absorb her, if we're to that part yet, or the way he first attempts to absorb her, it does translate to that level of sexual and creepiness to me.
It does. We will get to that shortly.
I'm still jumping. I just want to talk about future episodes in the end. I can't go along for the ride and the journey.
You want to talk about anything other than
than the sexual
than
combat.
What we're doing right now. I think there's a point where to know that so Vegeta just blasts Trunks with energy, trying to stop Trunks from interfering. We have a quick cut to the tower as Piccolo's just panicking, mm-hmm. wanting Goku. He's like, come on, Goku, hurry up.
And the idea is Piccolo has to stay behind to protect the tower so he can't go help.
No.
Oh, no.
This has been very, even now, this has been, there's a word I'm looking for. There's been some edification from you coming in and asking these questions. Because yeah, there's no reason Piccolo needs to be on the tower. He could be down there if he wanted to.
Okay. He's got too much on his mind.
I don't know why he's up there.
Because he seems awful worried about the outcome of things. you think if he was invested in the outcome, maybe he would want to participate. He's the opposite of the defense who's sad they're not playing, going home on the bus. He doesn't want to be in the game. He just wants to be a coach or something.
He loves this shit. It's like, yes, I don't get to play.
Yeah. He's very much like police captain, but not a detective. Mm-hmm. Like, put him in the office and let him yell at people, but don't put him on the streets.
He did take several of their badges before they went down.
Yeah. Okay. But generally speaking, he is a good guy at this point, because he's one of those characters that's also introduced as a villain in the first episode that he's introduced in. Correct?
Yes. He's pretty much just good.
He's gone all the way good. That's what I figured. Does Vegeta have an ally currently? I guess his son is sort of an ally, but not in this episode.
I don't know if he put a label on he and Bulma's relationship, so maybe she could be considered an ally.
Okay.
I think Goku's pretty cool with him at this point.
Because they've already fought it out.
Yeah. Goku's kind of like, I'm better than you.
Right.
I don't need to worry about this.
And so that's another question I have. And again, excuse the amateur coming in here asking 100 questions about episodes that are long past. But like, Vegeta's justification for letting Cell get more power is that he wants to find a worthy foe. Mm-hmm. Why was that not Goku already? Because they kind of had a bro-y ending to their fight and not like death ending to their fight, maybe?
Vegeta is constantly talking about wanting to have a rematch with Goku.
Okay.
But I think Vegeta got scanned. Vegeta got he got talked into something by Cell, I think is the main crux.
Is Vegeta an older gentleman? And was this a phone scam? Did he get an automated robocall?
It's like, hello, sir or madam. There's been a problem with your bank account, and I need your number.
Oh, let me give you all of my information. Do you need social security information just as well? I'll give you all my numbers.
I wasn't going to ask, but yeah, let's say, if you could say them live right now.
You got it. Well, let's start with my mother's maiden name, which is Vegetum.
Vegetum.
Perfect.
And the social security is, of course, 669-6969.
Nice.
I know. I got real lucky with my birth.
Real quick, pet's name, childhood pet name.
Okay. Pet's name was Vegeta Kiki.
Say that one more time.
Vegeta Kiki.
Okay.
It was a kitty cat. And then what else did you need, child?
Yeah, either where you met your spouse or your father's middle name.
Okay. I met my spouse in a tree trunk, which is why we named our child Trunks.
It sounds like it's more than met.
Oh, yeah. I met her in a tree trunk, then I showed her another trunk, if you know what I mean. Oh, but oh gosh, you're one of the best phone calls I've ever had. Let me just tell you, bud, I love you so much. You are my new grandkid.
It seems like you're extremely lonely.
I wouldn't say extremely lonely, but I would say I kamehameha'd away everybody else at this retirement center.
Oh, gee.
I'm just kind of in a giant hole surrounded
phone
by ash.
Phone still works, though.
Phone still works great. That's the one. Whatever the equivalent of Memphis Light Gas and Water in Florida is, they're doing a hell of a job.
All right. Well, the problem with your bank account is solved. Please don't look into it and check it.
I won't. Hey. You wanna fight me? You wanna have a quick fight? Are you strong? Are you strong like Goku strong?
Well, I mean, that's now that you mention it, I'd love to fight you, but if you can find some blonde android for me to absorb first,
as long as she's 18, baby.
And see. Yeah, Vegeta's definitely getting scammed in his
feels
old
that
age,
way.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. It feels like, I mean, ironic because we were just talking about his father, but it does feel like a character with daddy issues. Always got to seem strong. Why don't you know your inner strength in your own right without having to test it? Vegeta.
He's named after the planet. There's definitely some baggage there.
Oh, okay. A little bit of a Superman sort of baggage deal.
I'd say so.
Great. Okay. Well, I still think he's irrational, but I'll let it slide.
100%. He is messing up so bad. But the other characters are trying to remedy this. Krillin, as we mentioned, tries to go for the fight.
Krillin, of course, voiced by Jonathan Lipnicki. Is that correct?
From Little Vampire?
Yeah. That's the voice of dubbing I got, I'm pretty sure.
Could be. I haven't looked in a while. They might have changed it.
I believe it might be a woman even. But anyways, it sounded like Jonathan Lipnicki to me, and I was enjoying that.
Do you have a Jonathan Lipnicki in the back pocket?
Oh, dude. I see. Now I'm just doing a reference to another podcast, which makes me feel guilty. But okay. on Scott Hasn't Seen, they do an extensive Jonathan Lipnicki impression.
They do.
Yes, so my impression would only be an impression of them doing an impression, which isn't really fair.
It's a podcast behind the paywall, so I feel like it's fine. Okay. It's fair game.
That's the thing they don't tell you about plagiarism is if it's a premium product, as long as you rip off the premium aspect of it, you can rip it off all you want.
As long as it's not, yeah.
That's why I go to Costco and I buy one of those big things of cheese balls, and then I just sell the balls separately.
You have a high school junior scam going on. And like Krillin doesn't do much. Then the coolest thing in this episode happens, in my opinion.
Oh, interesting. I'm curious what you're going to say.
Because 16 goes in to fight Cell as well. Shoots his rocket arm into Cell. It bounces back, and then he catches it mid-run as he goes into fight.
That was pretty cool. That was a highlight for sure.
I have no notes on that. It's just like, that ruled.
Yeah. It'd be great if every episode of this show was just like, and that ruled, and that ruled, and that ruled.
Sometimes.
But no, you're right. That was pretty sweet.
I think then we get back into the... Trunks and Vegeta hashing it out. Trunks is trying to talk some sense into his father. He's like, don't give him the last four digits of the card. Vegeta says, don't you want to see how strong he can become?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which again, like just logic-wise, like, no, I don't.
Trunks is... what a sensible young man this is.
Yeah. It also, again, foreshadowing episodes you can't talk about yet, but it also makes me wonder if Gokid's kid is going to go evil. If Vegeta's kid goes good, is Goku's kid going to go evil, and is that going to create some conflict? I don't know. Maybe I'm thinking of this too much in like a Star Wars sense.
I don't hate this. This could have been good.
Could have been, so it sounds like, spoiler alert, doesn't happen.
Non-Gohan child that hasn't been born yet, Gotenks. Him and Trunks do become friends. So this would have been, I don't hate that. I think that's a great
Yeah, just the whole, like, it's a little bit what nature versus nurture sort of thing. Maybe it's if you're nurtured by one, you become the opposite. It could have been a nice little world building, if that makes sense.
This is, I think we got to get Kathleen Kennedy.
I know that name, but why do I know that name?
The current Star Wars main producer, I think.
Oh, right, correct? Right. Cheryl Hines' husband, right? That's who we're talking about?
Anyway, sorry. Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, I brought politics up again. Sorry. Yeah, okay. So father-son conflict. And is this the point where Trunks then finally ejects Vegeta?
Yes. Okay. In mine, he gives a line, "I've had enough hellish futures." And then, yeah, he... I think Vegeta's also like, "You're not going to fight me. You're not going to hit me."
Yeah. I remember him waking up in the ocean or something and being like, he finally did hit me.
He does wake up in the ocean, and we'll get to that after this commercial.
Ooh.
Four, eight, 15, 16, 23, 42.
Andrew, what are you doing?
Oh, hey, Marn. So I'm playing through an alternate reality game, and there's a number station puzzle that we just can't solve.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so I tried everything else, and I figured that the best way to solve it would be to get into its head and think like a number station. I've been saying numbers into microphones for hours.
Okay, well, I think I have a better idea.
What's that?
You could just listen to the Argonauts podcast. Every 2 weeks, I can let you know the ins and outs of old ARGs and give you a deep dive on how they were created.
Do you think we could, like, have a nuanced discussion about game-making philosophy and how cultures around games have changed as well?
Yeah, and you can definitely continue to fail to solve old ARGs along the way.
Well, it sure would be cool if that was a podcast you could find to bung with a bunch of other great shows over on the Moonshot Network.
You know, it sure would.
Well, cool. Thanks for the invite. Anyways, I'm going to get back to this, though. 23. 19.
Okay.
We are back in the time chamber. Goku is carrying a tuckered out Gohan back to sleep. And when tucks him to bed, Gohan wakes up and, like, is ready to fight as soon as he wakes up. And then just apologizes. It's like, "I got tired. I'm sorry."
Yeah. Not the strongest Goku episode in general.
You don't want to see him just be a dad? Just be a good dad?
I think if I wanted to see that, make it the whole episode. But just the little cutaway that doesn't provide any new helpful information about those characters.
Yeah, they got to fill up time.
I guess so. Speaking of which, can I further break the format of this episode and now go back and talk about something that already happened before?
Absolutely, yes.
I just wrote down 16 lends a hand. And I forgot to say that when we were talking about it earlier.
Oh!
So I just wanted to say that pun that I wrote down.
That's wonderful. I appreciate that.
Okay, back to where we are in the episode. little nice fatherhood moment, I guess. But, like, I was just like, this is just for the people who need Goku in every episode. There's no, that's just literally so if they have to flash, like, if they're doing, like, previews for the episode, they can say that Goku's in it, technically. Mm-hmm. But, boy, oh, boy, nothing of substance. Sorry.
I'm not going to go back to all the episodes we've watched. But I think you're right, where there is some weird contract. It's like Goku has to be in every episode.
Yeah, because I guess he's, like, the above-the-title guy. Like, mm-hmm. if you only know one Dragon Ball name, you probably know Goku, I would guess.
Yeah, he's top billed. At this point, he's probably, like, famous enough to where he's directed some of the episodes.
Sure, yeah. He's getting an EP credit, and that just really means he's making more money but not doing any more work.
Yeah, he's looking for what's next in his career. That's right. After this.
Yeah, that's right. He's popping up in period dramas where he's doing something wildly different.
Mm-hmm. An accent, a British accent. That's
British accent. Yeah, yeah. Well, did this scene remind me of you and your father?
I mean, I don't know. I'd have to say my father. Here's a an imaginary scenario. You know, my father, he puts me to bed. I wake up ready to fight. What would he say to me?
You want me to? Okay.
Yeah. What would my father? Yeah.
Oh, what voice was I doing 10 minutes ago?
I think that's it. I'm getting nervous, so I think you're right.
Son, I swear to God, you've got two legs. Next time, walk yourself to your own damn bed without me having a fireman's hold carry you into this bed.
But I fell asleep in the car.
I've told you, you got to be vigilant in the car. What if we get attacked from the side?
By who, Dad? You're always telling me to watch out.
I didn't want to tell you this. I'm a secret agent. I'm a secret agent, and we're constantly being chased. And the only way you'll ever protect yourself is by insulating yourself into an anime world of fantasy and staying away from the realities of everyday life.
Is that why our last name is Mr. Smith?
That's right.
I guess just Smith. We're both Mr. Smith, technically.
No, I didn't tell you, son. Your last name is Mr. Smith. So technically you are Mr. Mr. Smith.
Is it one word or two on the Mr. Smith last name? Hyphen?
Well, don't be an idiot. It's one word.
That and scene. That's the dad I know.
That's the dad you know. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Which is very different. Have you ever been fireman's hold carried into your bed by a parent? I'll open it up to your mom as well. Or a step-parent. I don't know your life.
Fireman's hold, maybe not. But have I fell asleep somewhere and then woken up in my bed? Yes.
Sure. Okay, sure. Yes, I've been like infant-style carried even when I was older than an infant. I mean like hand under the butt and other hand on the back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've been carried like that places. But fireman's hold drop into a bed, I don't think that's ever happened to me. I guess maybe when I meet my one true love.
When you're in that fire.
Yeah, sure. Oh, God. Honestly, I would love to meet my wife by her being a female firefighter that saves me from a burning building and carries me out in a fireman's hold.
That's so
lovely.
Sweet. What a great story.
Yes. Basically, I'm saying I want to be the sub. I just need a dom partner is all I'm saying. That's anyways.
Audience, hey.
If you're a dom out there.
If you love burning buildings and leather, please. But we got back to the non-fatherhood portion. Non-fatherhood.
Back to the main thrust of this episode's story.
We have 18 cornered. And a lot of this is, okay, now I remember. Now I watched this like a week ago. Now I remember. 18 is cornered, uses like finger guns, pow pow, to try and push back Cell. But it doesn't really work and he just keeps moving forward, which is also like another menacing sort of vibe coming from Cell, that he is unstoppable.
Yes. This show makes me most uncomfortable when it is like a overpowering villain male character and an a less powered female character. Just the dynamic of that is very uncomfortable. I much prefer it when it's just the men fighting or two women fighting each other or whatever it might be. But this particular dynamic is distressing.
It's, I mean, audience, buckle up because it gets even more distressing. Trunks is able to sort of stay the hand of Cell a little bit. 18 has an opportunity to leave, tries to pick up 16. She can't really do it, so Krillin's there to help.
Yeah, which again, like 16 has been very clear. Just leave him. Nobody cares.
Why are you doing this? You can just remake me. I have 20 spares back at the cave.
Also, I did think, like, if you gender swap 16 and 18, maybe Krillin's not even trying to help. I think Krillin is just thinking with his dick. He's just like, hot lady, let me protect hot lady.
Mm-hmm.
Poor 18, a good sibling, but not going to work out to go back for the straggler. It never works out to save the straggler. Always let stragglers die, I say.
Zombie apocalypse, just.
I did have a calculus teacher at my high school who used to say, you know, some children need to be left behind to feed the wolves. That's what he used to say. That was specifically in reference to No Child Left Behind, the program.
Okay.
He thought that some children should be left behind to feed the wolves. Oh, cool.
He changed the post. They changed the. I'm assuming it's a he.
Oh, it was a he. Yeah.
Okay. Suspicions were correct.
He was a teacher that intentionally lived off of the reputation of being intimidating.
Mm.
And I don't think was actually a mean guy, but used the veneer of intimidation and meanness to, like, not have kids give him shit. And it pretty much worked.
A short anti-king or a tall anti-king?
He was in the middle of the road. He did have kind of dwarven features in terms of, like, he had, like, a big, bushy black beard.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very what's the politest way to say this? He was very round.
Love blacksmithing.
A circular man, yes. He used to just kind of grumble. He just kind of go,
Was your teacher actually a fantasy dwarf from Middle Earth?
He really wasn't too far off of that. His height, he was doing fine with height. Oh, I think also ponytail, if that gives you more of a picture. I'm pretty sure there was ponytail.
How did he feel about mead and or drinking?
I mean, to his credit, never drank around the kids, which, okay. Like, come on. We got to give it up. Got to give it up to those teachers that don't drink around the kids. But yeah, I think he liked mead. He really liked, what was that thing you did in calculus where you had to know all the different pies that go around the circle or whatever? Whatever that dumb shit was, he liked that shit.
I took calculus in high school. But not because I was like, I'm going to go into math. Obviously it wasn't because I was going to some sort of STEM, field. But it was like, oh, I'm smart. I should take this.
Right.
This is where smart people go to class.
That's,
I'm like,
that's pretty much why I did it too. Yeah.
No, I hate this. This is bad.
Oh, it sucked. I remember the year I switched from AP English to regular English. Oh, it was just like, upgrading from like a scooter to a limo where I'm not even driving anymore. I literally would show up and sleep. And I was the best in the class. I would sleep through class the whole day and they'd be like, good job, Ian, you're the best. I'm like, man, standard English is where it's at. AP English sucks ass. Anyways.
Yeah. A regular placement for me, please.
Truly,
as we mentioned before, Vegeta just hanging out in the middle of the ocean, kind of looking up, thinking about his life.
And by the way, please correct me on this because I'm sure this is wrong. This is my only memory of ever seeing red blood in Dragon Ball. I feel like I remember Piccolo's green blood,
mm-hmm.
but I don't feel like you see a lot of red blood.
I believe that's a lot of censoring issues with what you might have seen on broadcast television.
Okay.
Just an easy thing to fix. Just change that blood to a different color.
Could have been something like that, yeah. Because it was also like the mildest use of red blood was just his lip or whatever had a little bit of blood on it from where he was thrown away. And I'm like, that gives you blood, but the other blasts don't give you blood. But censorship makes a lot of sense that would be the reason.
He is so mad that he is bleeding from his child.
Now I read it as a little bit of like pride too.
Oh, okay.
I read it as like, I'm angry that I got the kit, but I'm kind of proud that my son finally like grew a pair.
One of the lines he has in mind is that bratty piece of crap. So it didn't seem like it was said in like a heartwarming way of like, that bratty piece of crap. So teared up.
Yeah, I wish I'd written down more lines from mine. I think he said something similar, but for some reason, maybe it's just the tone of the voice actor made me think like he, again, there was just a little bit of like, mm-hmm. kid finally did it. Kid finally dunked on me. That's the mood I got.
Yeah. I think that is the lesson. Everyone just needs to beat up their dad to gain respect.
Oh my God, it became so much easier after mine died. I dig up that corpse and I really hammer him home. Rope-a-dope, yeah. Oh no, is my dad rope-a-doping me? He's gonna hit me back so hard when I least expect it. And now you get to do an impression of my dad who's okay. dead, Aaron.
Okay. I'm trying to think of what a skeleton sounds like.
I couldn't tell if you had started because that was a great impression of a dead person for the first couple seconds.
Yeah. I'm proud of you, son. That was more difficult than I thought.
It was pretty good, though. I mean, you sounded maybe just a little bit cold, but pretty good.
Yeah, it's... It either means I'm a skeleton or it's very cold in the room. Those are...
Well, yeah, I mean, what's colder than hell?
Cell sees that 18 is getting away. And so there is so part of Cell's whole deal is yes. that he's made up of the cells of all these other fighters. So right. he knows all their techniques. And what I like about this part is that Cell looks up at the sun. He's like, oh, yeah, I can do this thing, too. I forgot.
Yeah, I forget what he said exactly in mind. It was something like, I got an idea.
A bright idea.
It was something that similar. Yeah, yeah. This was the most Pokemon to me, by the way, of this episode, too.
Go on.
Well, just like he just thought he just remembered a TM that he memorized. Or it's probably an HM because he's using it in the world. And it has greater. Actually, this was literally the HM Flash in a way for the Pokemon stands out there.
You're correct.
He basically does Flash.
He's kind of a Pokemon. Someone just gave him a bunch of different moves that yeah. weren't in his original set.
Yeah. Solar Flare, it was called in mine. I think mm-hmm. the maneuver, I assume that was close to the same.
Yeah, Solar Flare. Everyone goes blind. Krillin tries to, even though he's blind, he tries to step in.
Yep. Which he does a pretty good job. Again, he's trying. His heart's in the right place. I got a little dog, so he reminds me of a little dog. You know, his heart's in the fight. He'll never win, but his heart's in the fight.
Does Boom, like, step in front of you whenever the rock comes in to fight you?
Yeah, he definitely tries. I mean, Boom does have a – we go to the small dog park in my neighborhood. Okay. And if there's – sometimes somebody will try and sneak in more of a medium-sized dog mm-hmm. into the small dog park. And Boom is excellent police of the exact size that is actually required of that dog park. So if there's too big of a dog in the small dog park, Boom lets him know.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gives him a ticket?
Yeah, pretty much. He tries to give him a ticket, yeah. And it goes about as well as Krillin's defense goes, I would say.
Which is to say, not well. And then this is the really horrible part where in my notes, I literally wrote, I hate this.
Yeah. It was pretty disturbing. Yeah.
It's 18. It's a woman screaming as Cell opens up his tail.
An extension of his buttocks. It seems, like this is sort of a suppository.
Yeah, I think that's the way to put it. There is a dilation.
Yep. He needs to be both loose and tight.
Yeah, he did a round. He did a 1 minute roundup. And just like sucks him up. But like there's too much animation on the suck up in the tail.
It's a slow process. It's like it's like head in and then like a little bit more shoulders in and then like waist in. And then there's still the feet dangling out mm-hmm. and screams all the way for the most part, as I recall.
There's not a lot of gross things in Dragon Ball, but this is definitely one of them.
Yeah. Yeah, and I forget what 16 tries to say something right as she's. I thought 16 had said something like, use your last move or something, but it wasn't that at all. It was just like a no. There was nothing that she could do. Anyways, yeah, really unfortunate. Really unfortunate.
And this, and like the rest of the episode is that Cell has done it.
The effect of steroids.
18. Yeah. Yeah. He juiced up. He did the Requiem for a Dream weird eye close up. You see 18 going through his veins. And then he.
And has shield powers now.
Yes.
Can so create shields around him. In very much like a Smash Brothers kind of way, felt like.
Yes.
I'm going back to N64 days. I'm sorry, played the newer ones.
I'm sorry that Vince isn't here to talk with you about Smash Brothers. He's more the expert than I am. I'm like, yeah, there are shields.
Yeah, there's little bubble shields is why I brought it up. Mm. It's just a little bubble shield that encompasses just the character.
And it stops. It actually stops Trunks from stopping this transformation.
Right.
Gets swatted back.
Right. And we think that shield power is a new android-based power, would be my guess.
Maybe. I think they have used shields before. Someone's going to correct us.
I was just going to say, because Cell wasn't using a shield at all earlier. It was just straight up, you know, combat.
That's
and now
true.
He's got a shield. So I thought maybe that was a little bit of like a robotic new android-style shield.
That I don't know. I'm trying to remember if any of them had like little bubble shields. Look, again, we don't do research on this podcast. So if you know out there, you can send it over to KameHousePartyPod@gmail.com. Title that KHP Research and let us know where do shields come from.
And we're going to read all the unopened emails later today, right? We're going to go through them one by one on the episode.
Yeah, all the spam. All the- We're just going to get, yeah, we're going to give away our social security numbers yeah, on air.
Right. I do feel bad for the fans out there because I really am an amateur stepping in here. Aaron is having to do all the heavy lifting and I'm
not
just
at all.
I like this dumb thing.
You are presenting honestly reasonable questions
good, okay,
to
good.
All this.
Good.
I have accepted this reality when I maybe sometimes I shouldn't. And I should be questioning things.
Well, you
more.
Have to accept this reality because otherwise you're in your dad's secret agent world where you're being hunted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't go back there.
You can't.
I went there for a summer and look, I fell in love, but it wasn't great. The entire world feels this. Like even Bulma on the tower in mind, she's like, it feels like the whole earth is shaking.
What Dragon Ball always does a good job of is reactions. You may be unsure about a thing, but then they'll show three or four different reactions, and you're like, okay, that was serious.
Three people commented on this.
Yeah, in three different worlds, no less.
Yeah, we go all the way to New Namek,
which is Piccolo World, I'm assuming.
Yes,
great.
And we see Dende, who's just a little guy. We met him before. And everyone's just like, yep, we feel this, and it feels like something that could destroy the whole universe.
Yep, not the world, but the universe. The stakes have increased from
this
world to
serious.
Universe.
It's the most serious we can get. And that's, I think, one last thing. We don't see Cell become his perfect self just yet, but we do see Krillin kind of to himself forgetting like, oh, maybe I should have shut down 18. Whoops.
Well, but I mean, I will say I still think that was a bit of a hero moment. I was joking earlier when I said he was thinking with his dick and not his brain, but I still think like, again, the little dog's heart is in the right place. He wants to save a person, right?
He does. Yeah, I think what we discovered through the different versions is that essentially that's what it was. This is a person that he was trying to save, and just not trying to, and I think we, Master Researcher Nick, who sends in a lion's share of our KHP research, they also mentioned how Krillin's not a killer by nature. Mm-hmm. It's not his thing. So even to save the universe, he's not really willing to take a life.
Right. And it's not like he knows for a fact that Cell is going to win. I mean, Cell happens to win. But at the time that Krillin is making the decision, he thinks, oh, maybe I can still just run away with her and make sweet, sweet love.
He's like, yeah. Go back to the island I live on with that old man.
Yeah, yeah.
Fun fact, they do, that is where they live for like several years.
The island, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He just freeloads.
Yeah. I mean, he's basically Animal Crossing. He just lives on a little island. And
a little bit, yeah.
On little adventures, yeah.
He collects shells. He's in massive debt.
I've run out of Animal Crossing knowledge. I can just reference it, but I can. I
now I've specific. Got the video game upper hand. But yeah. But that is it. Anything else that we missed or you want to mention?
Oh, let me see what else did I
end.
I did write down one of Cell's lines, which was, I think this was right before he did the solar flare. He said out loud, "Yes, a brilliant plan," which again is just like. Just if it's so brilliant, just fucking do it. You don't need to announce when you're about to do something really awesome. Just be awesome. But again, that's mostly translation issues, probably. I'm sure it was much cooler in the original version. I think when Cell absorbed 18, the android, I think he should have gotten just a little sexy.
Go on.
I just think maybe, you know, maybe some sprouts out of the chest area, or just a little bit of a curves or something. I don't know.
Oh,
but like okay. show that a little bit of the android coming into him. Like show me a little bit of 18 now part of Cell in some sort of way. Maybe the lips get a little poutier or something.
Okay. Yeah. If Cell is so perfect, where's the sex appeal? Is what you're saying.
Yeah. Well, I feel like if you absorb a woman, you should become a little bit more feminine. Am I so wrong for saying that you absorb a woman, you should become a little more feminine?
We look again. We'll next episode is when we'll find that fan fiction. But Ian, thank you so much for coming onto the podcast. This has been wonderful and delightful.
Oh.
And hilarious. Where can the good people at home find you if they want more of your comedy stylings?
Oh, Aaron, it's always truly an honor and a privilege to be on this show. You can find me at Sigmund Fraud Pod on Instagram. That's Fraud, F-R-A-U-D, and not Freud. Get it? Mm-hmm. It's a joke. So Sigmund Fraud Pod is where I play a fake, terrible therapist and I'm opposite a character in therapy with me. Aaron has done the show twice, very kindly. Vince has also done the show twice, so you can dig up the old archived episodes of their silliness. Most recently, Aaron was a character from a movie franchise that is quite popular around Halloween, I think I will share. And then I also perform with a wonderful improv team in New York called Woodstock. Woodstock is an amalgamation of 25 of New York City's best improvisers all together on one big mega team. So if you ever have a show that you're booking, we can probably say yes to it. And specifically, we have a show coming up at the Brooklyn Comedy Collective's main stage Saturday, March 30th at 8:30 p.m. This is the first time Woodstock is debuting our soundtrack form, which is scenes based on musical suggestions from the audience. So come on out to the show, write down a song in the first half, and we will use that song to inspire our scene work in the second half. Woodstock's some of the funniest people in New York City. It's not just me. So if you didn't like me at all, you'll still have fun at the show.
Yeah, go get those tickets. I'll if there's a link for it online, I'll make sure to put it in the show notes.
Thank you, my friend.
Even if you're not in New York, just go and buy a ticket.
Just buy a ticket. You're supporting the arts.
Mm-hmm. Write it off.
Write it off. Have a few laughs. Go to Los Angeles, climb through a vent, step on a bunch of glass, buy a ticket to BCC Saturday, March 30th, 8:30 p.m., Woodstock and Friends. That was my Bruce Willis, if you couldn't tell.
This is very good.
Thank you.
Sounded like my dad. you know where you can find us at KHP. We are still, even during this time, we're still streaming when we can. So go over to twitch.tv/Kame House Party. on Wednesdays, where we're playing a variety of games and having a variety of fun. We are a part of the Moonshot Podcast Network.
Woo!
Go over to moonshotpods.com. You'll find your next favorite podcast over there. We love being a part of them. We love all the extracurricular things we get to do with them. I think if you go to their YouTube channel, you can see me play Pokemon in a tournament. And I won't tell you how I did, but not well. It was close. It was a close match. I think right now, look, if you're looking for a delightful monthly pop candy, pop snack subscription box, Tokyo Treat. Oh, first of all, look at, if you're on the video, go to the video so you can see Boom.
He can hear wrap-up energy. Isn't that crazy? I've podcasted so much that he can tell when I'm wrapping up, and he knows he's about to get the attention back.
Oh, okay.
And he's like, we got to go to the dog park. I got to police the bigger dogs from not going in there.
I thought he sensed the rock and was to stop him. But what we can also do is go to – I have to look at the link again.
I'm sorry just to go break to team, flow.
team.tokyotreat.com/Kame. Get a monthly subscription snack box, up to 20 different snacks straight from Japan, exclusive. If you use our code Kame, KAME, you can get $5 off your first box. Ian's going to do that right now.
Are you kidding?
I'm actually going to sit here and watch while he does it.
Oh, well, now I have a captive audience. It's time to start masturbating. Yeah, you should absolutely do that. It all supports the show. This is a wonderful show to support, and sure. Anything you can do to support Vince and Aaron, boy, two of the sweetest boys on earth and two of the funniest guys on earth. And I said it earlier, but I'm going to say it again, an honor and a privilege every time I get to be on this show. It's always so fun.
Thank you so much. I had a wonderful time. Everyone listening had a wonderful time. They just told me so.
Oh, we don't have to renege on that guarantee then.
No, I will not be giving any money back. but we got to end this the same way we always do. Whether you are becoming more feminine by sucking up an android or
trying to hand the mic to your dog and he runs away,
you gotta
keep fighting.
God.